want you, if you would, get your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Cien treinta y tres. Right? Am I good? Ciento treinta y tres? No, cien treinta y tres. Ciento. For those of you listening on the podcast, we're going through a Spanish lesson right now. Hallelujah. Psalms 133, I'm going to begin reading. This is out of the NIV. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil, poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true today, yesterday, and forevermore. I thank you, God, that your promises are yea and amen. And more importantly, God, I thank you that you have given us the keys of the kingdom of God. And I thank you that we accept these keys, but don't just accept them, but we use these keys to unlock the very mysteries of Christ in our very life. Father, I thank you in advance for what you're about to do. And I thank you right now that every distracting spirit and every foul and unclean spirit is bound in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every spirit in this room right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. What I want to share with you is the unity that bestows blessings. When you read there in Psalms 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How many of you know that God writes something in his word? He's not just writing something just to write it. Correct? If the word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, then God himself is saying, pay attention because I'm speaking. It's being written. But we kind of don't like to read certain books in the Bible. Job. How many of you have a tendency to pray and ask God, give me a word? And it opens up to Job and you're like, not that one. Or you go to the Song of Solomon. Have y'all been to that one? You know, oh, this 50 Shades of Good. Yeah, y'all think that all 50 Shades of Grey out there in the movie theater is hot? To read that book. If you ain't married, you're about to be. If you ain't got someone, wait a minute, y'all need to get married first. Don't be doing none of this stuff using the Bible to say. Because you better read. Everybody like, Song of Songs. I'm going to read that one right now. Just teaches you some things. Teaches you about how good God is. But then when we read songs, oh, that's just songs that David wrote. Or songs that the choir can sing at church. That's not what Psalms is about. There's always keys that we have to look for in the scriptures. You understand that? When I was reading this on Sunday, I skimmed through it real quick and I went on to about the oil. And the Lord says, you ain't done yet. Why are you putting conclusion in there? I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Teach him about where the blessing is. Oh, okay, now you got my attention. This is how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. First key, unity. You see that? Now, how can we live in unity and we don't live in the same house? Right? Are y'all questioning that at any time in your life? How can the body of Christ be in unity if we're not living in the same place? How can the body of Christ be in unity if we're not even in the same city? Right? How can we be in unity when the body of Christ is scattered throughout the whole world? We need to be united with Christ. When we have one common focus and one common goal, we can put our heart, our mind, and our focus on Christ. Once you do that, oh, here's where he begins to get real deep now. Now, this is just Psalm 133. This is what he says. It's very important. And I just taught on the oil. Verse 2 says, it is like precious oil poured on the head. Isn't that interesting? The oil that's poured on the head. So I started thinking, well, the oil, okay, where's the first mention of oil, the law of first mention? You go back into the early script, the early scriptures that talks about the anointing oil, right? So you go into that, and then you start to see that there's some significance that even in the tabernacle, when they're building the tabernacle, he instructs Moses and Aaron and his sons. He instructs not just Moses, not one, but Aaron, his helper, and Aaron's sons. He speaks of three generations. Mira. That's what I was doing, scratching. He speaks of three generations. It was the aquanet. Listen. He speaks of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It speaks of three generations. Why does he speak that to Aaron and then to his sons and to Moses? Because he's saying to them, it's never for just one generation to have the anointing. It's for a generation that comes together in unity for the cause, for the purpose, that I bestow my blessing, which is the anointing, upon these generations. So I began to think back. I remember a couple Wednesdays ago, all these youngsters in here started just weeping. Remember that? Just weeping right there in their chairs, and the Lord began to touch them. I figured, okay, well, that's it. They just had an encounter, one encounter. But then I began to see how even on Sunday they were still getting touched. Then the following Wednesday comes around, and they're still weeping. I said, Lord, you're up to something with this generation. You're doing something with this young generation that no one is touching them but you. Okay, hear this. It's one thing for mom and dad to pray for the children, right? Because you pray for your kids all the time. We pray the protection. We pray the blessing. We pray for good night's sleep. Pray for the food. We do all of that. But here's the thing that I want to share with you. Is that the generation that is being touched right now is a generation being touched just by God. Not by the hand of man, but by God. So I remember the conversation that I had with Apostle Jesse and Evangelist Ray. And what he was seeing, what both of them were seeing, is a move of the Spirit in the young generation. And that's when he said, something's going on at the house of manna. Something's about to happen. So I'm like, yeah, amen, hallelujah. And then I was like, what is it, God? What's about to happen? What are you going to do? Cricket, 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 right? You don't hear nothing because you want specifics now. How many of you know that when if you were about to take a test in school and you want specific questions and specific reviews over the questions that are going to be in the test, right? So that you can pass that test because you remember what you reviewed. So I begin to ask God, okay, God, I'm reviewing right now what's happening. You've been touching this generation. You've been touching them alone in their seats. But then they're coming up and being activated because the same ones that are getting touched are the ones that are moving in the very thing. One in healing, they're moving in sight, they're moving in the prophetic words, and they're also moving in song. So God, you're doing something. And I don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. So it's better for us to gather in unity for the purpose. The purpose. And then he says that it runs down Aaron's beard from his head. So now the oil has been poured. It's poured on his head. Perfect beard. It was on the beard. Then it says the collar. You read in your scripture there? It says the collar. Close to the head, the neck, the collar, the covering. But the collar that he was speaking of there was the collar in the vestment of the high priest, saying that the anointing is also on the high priest. You understand? And then it goes on to say that it even goes down through the garments to the edge of his garments, to the edge of his robe. You read that in there? Well, I began to ask God the same thing. Why is this so significant about the oil being poured on Aaron? Well, then I believe I heard from God. Go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and verse 3. First John 2, verse 3. Is it all right we do a little Bible study tonight? Is it all right? All right. First John 2, verse 3. Out of the NIV, I begin reading. It says, "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar." Oh, Lord. "And the truth is not in that person. But if anybody obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did." When I got to verse 6, I said, how can we live like Jesus did? He walked on water. He fed the multitude. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. How are we going to live like him? And that's when it came. The anointing of the oil on Aaron was speaking of the priesthood that was signifying that Aaron represented the high priest. Who is Jesus? He is the high priest. He's the high priest of all high priests. So he comes in and he's the anointing. So in other words, what he's saying is, as long as I am in your thinking, as long as I'm in your mindset and in your thinking, you can begin to gather together in unity. Oh, but if I can just gather around the collar as well, which supports, which covers, which signifies that not only am I doing the mindset, but I'm also doing what other people can see, recognizing you as a high priest. Then as it begins to go down the outer garments, it's signifying that the church outside of the four walls must carry that same anointing. So that when it gets to the very edge of his garment, it's speaking of, it's going to get to the very edge of the new ones that are just coming in that don't understand. But that anointing is there for them as well. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ means the anointed one. So the anointing is on Christ. The anointing is in now in you. How many of you received Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior? Okay, some of y'all that didn't raise y'all, question y'all's salvation, but it's okay. The fullness of his power is in you. Verse 7, "Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is a message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." The anointing is already shining through you. And that anointing is because it's been poured on you. Well, when I read all this, I began to see that God was saying, everything that you have been searching after has been there all along. And in the very beginning, when he was doing the anointing of the tabernacle, he began to do Aaron and Moses and his children. They began to sprinkle the oil on the articles. That's all they were doing, just sprinkling the oil on the articles of the tabernacle. Now, I don't know about you, but just a sprinkling in the articles of the tabernacle, that's God's house. That's God's house. But he says into the instruments and the articles, just sprinkle the oil. But to the individuals, the high priest, pour it on them. Are you reading that? Do you understand that there's a separation there? We all say, oh, use me, Lord. I'm an instrument for the Lord. I'm an instrument for the Lord. Then you're only getting a sprinkle. But if you understand that you are the high priest, that God has given you all power and authority to walk and operate in his fullness, that means that you're going to walk into some situations, maybe walking into some debt somewhere and saying that I am the fullness of him and I've got that very power that's going to wipe that thing out. All right. Maybe you don't want to talk about money because money kind of makes you think that I'm going to ask for it. Look. Maybe you walk into a situation that looks bleak or doesn't look like it's going to turn around. But the moment that you take authority over that situation and you don't let that devil's lie begin to manipulate what's going on, you're the one that is changing the atmosphere of what's been going on. But when the devil can begin to make you think you've only been sprinkled, that you don't have the fullness of that oil, you only have a little bit, then you're not going to understand the full potential that God has given you. Sure. You're going to get oil all over you, so I just got to sprinkle you. It's going to ruin the chairs. I'm just going to sprinkle it. Or you got a fine new suit, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sprinkle it only. But the Bible says Aaron didn't have a choice. Maybe some of y'all don't understand that. Aaron didn't have a choice. No choice. Chale wale. Aaron didn't have a choice. Sure is a nice pink hoodie. What do you think? Shall we pour? 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 Look at Edith. Said, oh, I'm not going to get it on me. When God calls you as a high priest, it's already been done before the foundation of this earth. He's made you all high priests. What is being done in the Old Testament is showing you who is going to be revealed in the new, which is Christ Jesus. So that when Jesus comes, then you see him after the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Hello. After the Holy Spirit comes upon him, he begins to go into now the temptation, driven by God of being tempted in the wilderness. But when he comes out, it's for some of you in here that have been tempted. You know what? Just turn on both lights. Let's get the house lights on. Let's look at some eyes. Let's look at some eyes. The ones in the back, let's turn both on. Let's look at some eyes. Hey, 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 hey now. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Okay, now that's not the song. But you see, hey, Chris looking at me like, go ahead, look, man, look all you want. God has a way of exposing some stuff that needs to be exposed. Because you get tempted of the same thing over and over, right? Do I get tempted the same way? Talk to me, church. Huh? Don't you get tempted the same way all the time? You know the one. You know the one. Oh, Sister So-and-so walks in. You're like, hey, what's up? Yeah, you think I don't watch, huh? Yeah. How about when Brother So-and-so walks in? He's got that swagger when he walks, you know. He's got that swagger. You see, and we think that, oh, that's not temptation. That's just I'm acknowledging the goodness of God. It's funny how we begin to change things up just because we don't want to fall into the category of sin. God gave me eyes to see, so I see. As long as I don't touch. The Bible says that Jesus said this. It's written in red. He says, even if you think about, you already committed adultery. What? I was just thinking, but I didn't touch. I didn't act. But you already did. Woo! That's pretty harsh. But then he says, so it's better for you to pluck out your eye and enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye. So we got people that are so extreme, they do all kinds of craziness. Someone's getting this oil poured on them tonight. Just so. Somebody is. And they don't look at me like, oh, that's all because I got sin. No, there's a call on you. You understand? Your sin is already under the blood. Don't make me take you through the steps right before Easter and tell you that when Mary Magdalene and John the Beloved, the only one that writes about his love. Oh, I got to read that to you someday. Oh, my God. It's hilarious. Have y'all read the book of John? Huh? How he writes very arrogantly about himself? Oh, I'm serious. The two disciples, one of them being Peter and the other one that Jesus loved. And then, watch this. He understood his love. Watch this. What's this about this? And the disciple outran the other, and Peter came in last. That's in there. Read it. What does that have to do about love? Nothing. He's writing about himself. Look at me, mira. Read the scriptures. They're hilarious. You know, just help me, Lord, because I'm getting off track, Lord. Probably going to go all on me like, oh, Lord, that's my sin. No, but listen. Here's the thing. God is saying that I have already called you as high priest. I've already said that you have the fullness of everything that is in me is inside of you. And in that unity of understanding, if we are a church, a real church. No, I mean a church, not playing church. Where's my daughter? Where's my daughter? My daughter here? She walking outside? Okay. Let's see. Oh, yes. I'm going to go this way. Look at this thing. Come on. All three of y'all. Come here. Look. I want you to look at the church. Look at the church. Doesn't they look beautiful? I said, look at the church. They're not looking at you. John the Beloved. I have the three. John the Beloved. But look. Look at the church. Look. They look like they got it all together, right? Dang. Out of the mouth of babes. But look, we're all here together. We're gathering. Everybody's got their Bibles, their notes out. And they got it together, right? It's not a joke. But watch. If we were really a church, yeah, I'm included in this. If we were really a church, we wouldn't be able to keep ourselves away from God. Should I say it again? I don't think they got it. Okay, you're gonna write it down. Okay, write it down. If we were really a church, we ourselves would not keep ourselves away from God. You understand? Because what happens is, and I picked these three because, hey, you remember when? Back in the day. One of the three up here, the Beloved, would act out certain individuals in the church. Oh, what was that, Katrina? All of them. They would act out everybody in the church. Remember that, Miss Lisa? They could act everybody out to a T. Because what they were doing is playing church. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. They're playing church. Right? You want to demonstrate one? Okay. I tell you what. Let's see. I think you got to do the great one. Do the great one. Come on. Hey, come on. Everyone, give her a hand clap. Come on. Let's do it. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on. Come on, you got to. Come on, do Pastor Inez. And then you would always do me going down the aisle. Remember that? Oh, you do. Where's Jeremiah? Oh, Jeremiah's in the back. All right, come on. Come on. It's all right. You're under grace. Come on, Eviana. Hurry up. I want to make a point here. Come on. Amy, come on, Amy. I made a... Where's Hannah? Hannah, come on, Hannah. Come on, Hannah. Hannah, Hannah. Oh, Kelly. Do Kelly. Come on, Hannah, do it. Pay attention. This is good, it's real good. It's great Bible teaching right here. Okay, do your mom. Okay, get ready. Home. Come on. It's in my notes. Playing church, right? Okay, watch this. Okay, after Michael, I got one more because you want to do this? Okay. Oh, yeah. You might want to start over there. All right, now watch this. Pay attention. We're having church. Look. Come on.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, Pastor, look at me. Woo!
Oh, no. I'm not going to do that one. Okay, y'all can sit down. Thank you. Oh, were you going to do another one, Hannah? Oh, no, you already did, Mom. Leave Mom alone. You're going to get home and you're not eating no more bean and cheese. Okay. Listen, so what were the kids doing? They were playing church, right? They were acting people out in the church. They were playing church. Here's what I want to share with you. If we're truly the body of Christ uniting together, do you feel the atmosphere, how it changed? Right? Because y'all were paying attention to the kids playing church. So the enemy knows if he can come in and get you playing church, not being the church, he's already got you. Or we can profess out here all by ourselves, we're Christians, but we're only playing the role. We're not being the role. You understand? Well, we got so much knowledge, and you got to listen to me because I've got all this knowledge. I went through all these different ministries, and I went through all these different pastors, and I learned all these different things. You got to listen to me. Here's the first indication that not to. You've been through all of these. Huh. Because when I read in Scripture, those, and we talked about it on the oil, the olive took a while to mature. Well, Pastor, we have so much information now via the Google. So I can grow faster. Hello. That's the problem. You've grown up too fast. Thinking your information is impartation, and it's not. Information doesn't mean you've been imparted something. It means you read something. And then you want to go tell somebody what you read, but you're not living. That's playing church. When someone can come up to you and tell you, this is what the word says, but you ain't living it, shut your mouth. It ain't time for you to speak. It's time for you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. It's when you begin to see people begin to make change in their life because of impartation. And what the Holy Spirit was doing in the tabernacle when Aaron was being anointed wasn't playing church, was being church, because the anointing was coming on the high priest, saying that if we know that we're the high priest, we walk with the oil being poured on us, not sprinkled on us. Come sit down over here. Look at Daniel, please. Go to that phone. Aaron and his sons were not the instruments just being sprinkled with the oil. Matter of fact, when you read the scripture in Leviticus, the oil I love you too is poured. Here's what I want to share with you. Michael, do you feel it running anywhere? It takes time. You think just because you're close and you, I signed up to do hospitality. I signed up, I'm going to be a greeter. The oil's flowing. I'm singing on the praise team. I got all the oil. It's still where I put it. It's still where I put it. How many of you have actually felt the oil run on you? It's slow. Why? Because it makes sure it gets everywhere. And not only does it, your hair is going to be nice and shiny tomorrow. Here's what it says, that it goes down, not from his head also, but to his collar. If you could see right here, here's where the first place it hit was his collar. Look. Come here, look. No, come look. You pour it on the head, and the first place it's going to hit as it begins to run down. I know when he poured it down, he first put it here. There's theologians. See, who came here? Theologians speak of how the anointing took place. Is what they did is they're saying that they put the oil on his forehead and separated the brows to speak of the separation of flesh and spirit. I said, that's all fine and dandy, and I'm speaking. Thank you, man. Thank you. So beautiful. Give a hand clap to Pastor. How many of you, and this is not derogatory, this is not, so please hear my heart, have grown up in the Catholic Church that today you were in church? Somewhere, somehow, throughout the day, you made it a point to get to church. Did you not? Ash Wednesday, right? Today's Ash Wednesday. What was yesterday? What? Wait a minute now. Fat Tuesday, one of the most sinful days. Before one of the most holy days. Hello. The enemy's been trying to get us separated. So the oil separates flesh from spirit. You understand? The oil covers the flesh so that it penetrates the flesh and becomes now spirit. The unity, the unifying. And it becomes through and goes all the way down to the back. The beard. Why the beard? Why did he even speak of the beard? Because it was connected to the head. Do you see that? How it connects? How come the hair is not growing up his nose? This way. I'm sure inside, but up this way. Well, how come it's not coming from these eyebrows and connecting to the head? Have you thought about that? How come it's not coming from the eyebrows to the headline, but it's coming from the cheek line to the headline? Because the headline and the cheek line is connected to the mouth. So what it does, it covers everything from the ears down, up the jawline, up to the lips, the mouth. Also, what's this, Michael? What's this? You got some hair underneath your chin, and chinny chin chin. Vocal cords. What is the Holy Spirit saying? See, y'all just reading. What are you talking about all that beard for and stuff? Michael needs to shave. What are you talking about? No. I'm telling you that God was very specific when he poured the oil. It takes time to have that type of anointing in those days. Are you hearing this? In those days, Aaron was the only one that had it poured on him. And it ran down to the garment, speaking that that anointing is going to flow out through the body as long as you're in unity. What if Michael didn't have that beard? Would it have been written in the scriptures about Aaron having that? No. But God so selected. Maybe he could have chose the youth. But he didn't. He chose Aaron for a reason. And he speaks about it all through scriptures about the oil, the anointing oil. But the anointing oil wasn't the thing he was talking about. He was talking about him covering us. And when we begin to see that God is on us and covering us, he's doing it for a reason. He's covering our mind. He's covering our flesh. But he is anointing us for a reason. But now, thank you, Michael. Thank you. I'm going to get him a towel so you can, you know. But now what he's doing is showing you all of that oil is already in you because I'm in you. And because of all of that anointing that is already there, you don't have to play church. You're going to be the church. You're going to be the body. You're going to be the body that is going to display the very working power of Christ. Do you understand that? So that means when you walk into a situation in your life right now that you feel like you've been in the valley, been in the valley for a while, you've been there a little bit too long, getting tired of being tired in the valley, but all kinds of words are coming at you. Oh, you're coming out, you're coming out. You blessed, you blessed. But you're still in the valley. It's in the valley that he begins to walk with you. Not only does he walk with you, he begins to give you insight, instructions, and he begins to show you what is necessary. He begins to make change. Not only is he going to make change, he's going to give you directions for the change. But if we don't listen to the directions and follow through with what he says, he calls you a liar. That's pretty harsh. So we've got to be obedient. Not just obedient to say, oh, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, God. Use me, Lord, just use me. And then he tells you to go do that very thing. Oh, not that. Not that. Mm-mm. That's hard. But he's telling you for a reason. I'm already there. Even when you're in your valley. And if you made your bed in the valley, mine is right there next to you. Because I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be right there with you. So tonight what I want to do is I want to lay hands on you. I want to anoint you. You're already the high priest. But I want to activate you as the church. I believe in the laying on of hands for the impartation. Come up here. Bring that oil with you. You see, at the School of Prophecy, we anointed everybody last Thursday. It was in the, oh, it was Asia that was there. And I got a phone call from someone that doesn't attend our church, hasn't attended the School of Prophecy. I got the phone call at lunch today and I answered it, but I couldn't get it. It was this individual. He says, but someone from the class told me that I should call you. I attend the church where the class is held at, but I needed to call you for you to pray for me. I want to meet with you because they said that the word of the Lord is in your mouth and that they felt the difference when you prayed. Can we meet? And I began to understand what God was saying. You don't know why I make you do what I make you do. But once you do it, you begin to see why I made you do it. So that you can understand what God has for the bigger picture. And I began to see that God was saying, people need to be inspired by those not playing church, but being the church. Church. I love that the children, they can imitate all of us. I guarantee you. All of us. Because they watch us. Well, just like they watch us, others are watching you. So let's not play church. Let's be the church. And let's operate as the church. Amen. Let's come together in unity. Not just in unity and togetherness. We're sitting together. We're unified. Oh, we're families together. We're in unity. No, you're not. And unity means to have one mind, one spirit, focus on Jesus. That's the unity that he speaks about. And don't get it all twisted about being all holy, 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 this night. That's not what he's talking about. It's to love him, reverence him, worship him, and move the way Jesus moves. To live a life like Christ. How do we live a life like Christ? Loving one another, respecting one another, and following after his Father as Jesus did. He was focused. How do you know Jesus was focused? I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Why? Because he was in unity with him. We need to be unified as a body of Christ. How many of you want to get anointed and activated? How many of you? Is it going to be the whole church? Then this is what we're going to do. You're going to come up this aisle here. And you're going to come back right after we lay hands on you. We're going to anoint you. We're going to activate you to be the church, not play church. Amen. All right, if we look, can we just come from the back rows, line up here? From the very back row first, this way. Can I get the instruments playing, please? No, I will anoint you guys. Shrek, and I mean it in a very, very loving way. They call him Shrek. And I was like, are you sure? He's called him Shrek for the longest time. I sense that there's healing taking place in your body because you need healing. And I sense that God wants to make a complete overhaul within your spine. The third and fourth vertebrae I see has been out of alignment. I don't know if it was from a car accident, but I see that there has been pain that has been associated for quite some time. The pain comes and goes, but I also see that the hand of God is in it to bring that healing. Sometimes your right leg gets numb at times, and your foot will go to sleep. You looking at your wife like she told me something? Or are you looking at your wife like, how does he know? Okay, I'm going to tell you. God knows, because he's been watching everything about you. And for him to speak this much clarity to you tells me that you've already made some sort of commitment to him within your heart. That you said, yes, God, let him finish that work. I bless you, sir. I bless you. I bless you.